You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Earlier today, the Transnet Ports Authority announced that they would be looking at private partnerships for 7 of their ports as well. And this is just the latest developments from the Transnet stable looking to privatize or potentially get into public-private partnerships with organizations to improve their infrastructure and their service delivery. And one of the things that Transnet is also looking at is incorporating the privatization or including private operators in the freight rail market. And one of the big players in that space on the African continent is a company by the name of Attraction. And I'm joined on the line by the company's CEO in South Africa, James Holly, to take a look at some of these developments. Good evening, James. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the rules that were set forward by government or the rules that are being finalized and being set to be published. This is clearly a watershed moment in the freight rail space, but also in public and private relationships.
Jimmy, thanks, and good to talk to you. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really is a watershed moment. South Africa has had a rail monopoly for many generations, and the reform agenda that government is implementing in the very near future is really, as you say, watershed. But it has been quite a process to get us to this point. The National Rail Policy, for example, was about 12 years in development. And then was approved by Cabinet finally in March 22. And subsequent to that, we have seen the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill going through Cabinet. We have seen the Private Sector Participation Framework through Cabinet last year in December, the Freight Logistics Roadmap also through Cabinet, the formation of the National Logistics Crisis Committee, which is obviously a combination of government and business to chart the implementations of these reforms amongst the actions that they're busy with there. And, you know, the encouraging thing is that all of the reforms, from policy to the PSP framework to the Freight Logistics Roadmap, all of them, and the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill, all of them are along the same lines and charting the same future for South Africa's railways.
James, let's look at the size of the opportunity and understand the magnitude of where we're standing at the moment. The rail network that exists within the African continent, South African rail is about 85% of that rail network. Just how big is that when we look at it from a continental point of view? I mean, you guys have operations outside of South Africa on the continent, but just how big is this as a turning point?
So we do have a massive installed base in South Africa, and it's the most wonderful heritage that could and I think should be a source of real national competitive advantage. And as you said, 85% of circa 85% of Africa's rail track sits within in South Africa. We also, though, and almost most importantly, have a really big freight body that we service in South Africa. And if you talk about, you know, how important is this, it's even in the policy papers, but the Gain Institute, Stellenbosch University, did research into what is the impact on our economy of the drop in volumes, rail volumes that we've seen in the last few years. And it's 6% of GDP, according to them, in 2022 and 4.5% of GDP in 2023. And so it really has a meaningful impact on our economic performance, which, of course, has huge spin on implications for the fiscus and for job creation, et cetera. So, you know, in our business, what we do in the railways, it has a hugely leveraging impact on the upstream economy. What we talk about sometimes internally is we could invest in R1 billion of trains for a mining operation. We would create 100 jobs in order to operate those trains. It would be brilliant. They would go through our rail school and they would be highly trained individuals. But that unlocks a mining complex that can create thousands of jobs, 3,000, 5,000 jobs potentially. And that's the real leveraging impact of infrastructure and especially railway infrastructure. This really could be something that's not only brilliant for Transnet, but also brilliant for the upstream economy.
Now, James, when we look at these opportunities and we prepare for these things, obviously a lot goes into thinking about infrastructure development and planning for that. How ready is a company like Traxion to get involved in these initiatives? We've seen the government has come out very clearly to say public-private partnerships need to happen, especially where it relates to infrastructure. Where does Traxion sit in this conversation, and how are you coming to the party once the rules are published and once we have a clearer direction of how we're moving forward?
So, Jimmy, rail assets are extremely expensive. If you look at a train set, let's say a 50-wagon train set of flatbed container wagons to operate between Johannesburg and Durban, for example, you're looking at somewhere between 225 and 250 million rand just for one train set. Okay, to put that into perspective, that line has the capacity for 46 train sets in each direction every single day. Okay, so the amount of money that needs to be invested into the train sets is significant. And none of us, nobody in the private sector, none of the private operators, none of the freight owners have been investing into trains in advance of the arrival and implementation of reform. We will invest into trains when reform has been implemented and when the terms and conditions make investment feasible. And from that time, we then go into the process of placing orders for raising the money, of course, and then placing orders for trains. And from the time you pay your deposit with one of the big international OEMs to come and assemble their locomotives in one of the workshops in South Africa, which is more than likely what will happen, you go into about a 24-month time lag from the time you pay your deposit to the time that the first trains start running out of those manufacturing units. So if we see the implementation of reform this year, the first time you'll see private trains operating on any sort of significant scale will be in 2026. At the moment, we've got a fleet of about 60 locomotives. 100% of them are deployed into the 8 countries in Africa where we are currently operating. And that's a business that we've been developing for more than 3 decades. We might redeploy a couple of train sets to develop pilot operations here in South Africa, but to see it happening at a meaningful scale is going to be in 2026 if we can get the orders placed this year. So the next step is for government to release the network statement, which will set out the terms and conditions under which they're proposing that that we as private operators will be granted access in the country. And that's coming out for public comment for adoption in April. So we're expecting its release really imminently. We've been waiting for it for a little while now. But everything that I can see in terms of what they're saying in the crisis committee and the word out of Operation Vulindlela is that there's a real commitment to stick by that April deadline for the network statement.
James, I can't let you go without touching on the OEMs, as you mentioned them. There are various OEMs around the world. How do we navigate the OEM space? And I ask this solely because we've had a relationship with a particular OEM in China that has held Transnet virtually hostage due to other political reasons and whatever else has gone on. But the long and short of it is we haven't had trains, or we haven't had the trains that we thought we would have because of a bad contract with a particular OEM. How reliant are we on OEMs when we then go into the development of these rail networks and the development of these train sets after the rules have been established?
So, Jimmy, you know, for a very long time, Transnet was exceptional at procuring the right type of trains. And we typically were procuring our electric locomotives from Japan, and we were procuring our diesel locomotives from American manufacturers. And those have always been exceptionally high-quality products. Right now, you can procure really high-quality electric locomotives from Europe and from manufacturers in places like Japan and even South Korea, and then really exceptional diesel locomotives from the United States and from Europe. And that's the kind of policy that I think and where we're going to see procurement happening in the private sector. You know, the The locomotives that were supplied by General Electric Wabtec as part of the 1064 locomotives are absolutely exceptional and have been very successful in operation. The electric locomotives that were procured by Bombardier and now Alstom, also really exceptionally high-class assets. And as long as the asset is good and you have the relationship generally with your OEM is going to be very strong. So, you know, that is something that I think can be managed very effectively into the future procurement programs, because I think that there really is a rail boom coming in South Africa, and we're going to see a lot of train sets being procured in the next 5 years into South Africa, and the vast majority of those are going to be assembled in South Africa, which creates a lot of downstream opportunities for industry in South Africa too.
That's quite interesting that you bring that up, James. I think you and I will need to have another conversation around the ESG side of it, electric train sets versus hydrogen-powered train sets, what makes the most sense. But for now, we'll leave it at that. Thanks so much for those insights, James. That's James Holly, who is the CEO of Attraction, chatting to me around the latest developments we are expecting to come out of the freight rail space in South Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.